Ulterior.
I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm just happy to be on this microphone for the fourth consecutive year, getting to be a part of these year-end festivities and take the time to let you guys know what it was this year that I was fucking with and what really, really meant a lot to me. And maybe in turn, these songs and later on these records meant a lot to you guys as well, in which case, that's a beautiful thing, and we would all get to share the sentiment of these songs being some of the best of the year. You know what I mean? Damn, 4 years, dude. That's fucking crazy. But anyways, what's going to happen now is I'm going to go ahead and play the regular intro for the podcast, and then after that, we will get into officially the 100 best songs of 2024 for Ulterior. Thank you guys. I hope you enjoy this episode, and in turn, I hope you guys enjoy this entire series. Thank you. So just to get into some brief like housekeeping stuff before getting into the actual list, this is 100 best songs of 2024. So throughout this whole week, there will be 5 episodes, one each day, and each episode will go through 20 songs. Something that I've like tried to do in the past, but I kind of steered away from it last year, was having a limit on the amount of songs per artist that could show up on this list. I think I used to limit it to 3, and maybe last year it was 5, or there was no limit. Once again, this year there is no limit. So if there was a band or an artist who had like, say, 4 songs, 5 songs this year that I really believe should be on this list, they're going to be, and I'm going to celebrate that. Something that I do every single week on social media is Scenic Overlook, which is where I rank my 10 favorite songs that were released during the week. Every song that was ranked number one throughout the weeks, so all 46 weeks that I did Scenic Overlook this year, they are automatically entered into the list. So if you've looked through those posts, whether it be on Instagram or Twitter, and you've seen songs be ranked at number one, they're going to be on this list. I think this year I didn't like try to have a strict rule of like no covers, no acoustic versions, no remixes, anything like that, because I've just tried to like have my mind be straightforward on this and think, I want this list to be the absolute 100 songs this year that really meant something to me and I connected with and I loved a lot. And if any of them happen to be, you know, not entirely new material base, then so be it. That's just what happened. And I think the last thing to point out, or at least what I want to point out before going into the list, is that whenever I do the weekly episodes and I play like the song clip before talking about a song or before talking about a record or whatever it might be that week, I play like 20 seconds of the song. For parts 1 through 4 of this series, I will be playing 30 seconds of each song, and then in part 5, which covers songs 20 to 1, it's going to be 40 seconds, and I'm just kind of expanding on the runtime again, because these are my absolute favorite songs of the year, and I want to celebrate them and be exuberant about them as much as I can be. And I think, you know, that's... that's not it. The last thing I wanted to say, and this is the only time that I will mention it beforehand. Every year when I've done these episodes and these year-end things, I've like given a name to the award. So like the number one song received what I called the Mikasa and Historia Award, and then the number one record of the year received the Levi and Armin Award. These are awards that were named after my cats. I'm not doing that anymore, and I kind of explained this, I think, in the retrospective episode, where it just felt like a little bit gimmicky to me, and I want to try to like steer Ulterior away from anything like that. So there's no name for the awards this year. If you're the number one song, then you're just the number one song. And if you're the number one record, you're just the number one record. And Okay, I keep saying like one last thing. This genuinely is one last thing. And I'm going to repeat this part again when I get to the beginning of the final part on Friday. Just to kind of quick-handedly say right now, the past Song of the Year winners. In 2021, it was Butterflies by Between You and Me. 2022 was Strangers by Bring Me the Horizon. And then 2023 was The Summoning by Sleep Token. So what song is going to join those three in the catalog of Ulterior Songs of the Year? What song this year meant that fucking much to me that I would call it the best above anything else? It's going to take a while to get there, like a very, very long time, 99 songs to be exact, but we're going to go ahead and start now, and officially year-end season begins, and here are my 100 best songs of 2024. Number 100 is Terms and Conditions by Bad Omens and Bob Villain. The same dawn, the bees now scroll through picks of fresh kicks of resale. Ooh, baby, you drive me crazy, I double tap it. So hope through it, so dope through it, that's bad habits. Who they killing when they making a killing? Conditions getting worse, ignore the terms and conditions. I said, who they killing when they making a killing? Conditions getting worse, ignore the terms and conditions. Aha! Can you hear me through the white noise? Can you hear me through the white noise? Can you hear me through the white noise? Terms and Conditions was part of Concrete Jungle, the OST, which was this super adventurous and expansive project by Bad Omens this year, where there was some original material on there and then some songs that were remixes. And then I would say Terms and Conditions exists somewhere in the middle ground, where it's not totally new. Like, it's derived from Artificial Suicide, which at this point is like a three-year-old song, but the way that Bad Omens and Bob Villain collaborated for this song, and if anybody might not know who Bob Villain are, they are a duo from the UK who kind of meshed together elements of punk and hip-hop, and you can sense that all throughout Terms and Conditions. I felt like it was this really, really fucking sick way to take a song that is as heavy as Artificial Suicide and kind of turn it on its head and make it something that there's no way anybody could have like explained to me in terms and sentences what this song would sound like before OST came out. But then after hearing Terms and Conditions, it felt like the natural evolution of the song. And it's just such a, again, a really cool collaborative effort by Bad Omens and Bob Villain. And collaborative efforts ended up kind of being a resounding theme on Concrete Jungle, the OST, which we're going to get into later on. Number 99 is Warning Signs by Internet Friends. Sometimes I've said on this show that I feel like in 2024, pop punk is kind of like a cooked genre. I guess it might not be too cooked then, because there actually did turn out to be maybe a handful of songs on this list that fall into the pop punk umbrella, one of them being Warning Signs. And I remember when the project Internet Friends was first announced as featuring Michael Swank and Rossi Burr. Michael Swank, if anybody is not familiar with his work, he has previously been in bands like Fox Era and then other projects that he's been able to, you know, like attach his talent and his capabilities to. Rossi previously worked like behind the scenes with record labels, and now he is in this project with Michael Swank, and I think they ended up delivering a song that, again, doesn't really do anything like super abstract in the genre. It's very like by the numbers pop punk, but sometimes when you do a genre this way, all you really have to do is just do it really, really fucking well. I think that's what Warning Signs does more than anything else. It's super like catchy. It's got every like characteristic and trait of standard pop punk that I find to at times be alluring, and when it came to warning signs, it ended up being, to me, one of the most alluring things that pop punk had to offer all of 2024. Again, I don't know if I emphasized like how catchy the song really is, but like that chorus, when I first heard it in just a little fucking teaser for this song back in, it was either February or March of this year, it just couldn't leave my head. I did the thing where I just listened to the teaser over and over again, and that built up a lot of interest in myself to hear the full song. And when I did hear the full song, I was not let down whatsoever. And I think Warning Signs, again, ended up being one of the genre's calling cards this year. Number 98 is Killstar, The Cold World by Relica. I think when it comes to like my tastes and preferences for the metal genre, Relica kind of became like one of the gems of the year. And I say gems because Relica and this album, The Secrets of the Future, largely exists in like prog metal. And I'm not necessarily super into prog metal, but when a band is doing it like Relica and putting songs out like Killstar, The Cold World, it becomes super undeniable for myself, because you just hear this song and the really cool progression that you get throughout it instrumentally, and then the delivery on vocals by Monique. It's kind of like, it very much so fits the atmosphere set by Relica on this record, like the album artwork and the music video and all that sort of stuff. The song sounds dark. It has that atmospheric sensibility to it, and it really did a lot in my mind to help Killstar, The Cold World stand out and, again, come from a genre, or rather like a subgenre, that I don't usually turn to when I feel like listening to metal. But Relica and Killstar, The Cold World, it made it so that I couldn't turn my head away from what they were doing, and I didn't want to, because this song fucking rules, and Relica made a lot of strides this year to tell me that as an entire band, they also fucking rule. Number 97 is Reviver by Shoreline. So what I had known Shoreline to be before this year, and before their album To Figure Out came out during the spring of this year, I looked at the band for, you know, kind of what they have largely been this whole time, which is like an emo, hardcore punk band. And they've done the genre incredibly well, might I add. I think Shoreline is one of the stars of that sector of the scene. So then when I heard Reviver, it was like the band took the elements that have worked for them in emo and hardcore this entire time, and they kind of put like an indie spin on it. And I don't know if indie spin is exactly the way to phrase that, but the song somehow, it feels like mellow while still being aggressive once you get to the chorus and the harsh vocals come in. But everything that leads up to that moment, it's like so rooted in the idea of being catchy and having this like jingle effect to its ideas. Like when you hear the intro of that song and you get those notes that are like do 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 on some fucking Mr. Krabs Electric Zoo type shit, it just works, you know. It kind of makes it to where like I got to see another side to Shoreline. I got to experience their versatility be expanded upon through a song like Reviver, and I really enjoyed that. And I know that this is going to be a song that I take with me throughout the next few years and the rest of my life, and I just probably come to appreciate it even more as time progresses. Number 96 is Shelter Me by Empty. I'm going to start this off right quick with like the only negative thing about this song, and it's a big fucking negative actually, quite a bummer. This is the final Empty song. I remember when I heard Shelter Me and I was like looking up stuff about it because it ended up being number one in Scenic Overlook that week. I came across a Facebook post by the band saying that this was the last song and that the band was going to be done with. And it's like, man, that sucks, you know, because Empty, they were a band that had existed on Solid State for a couple years, and there were actually like quite a few projects released through them that I thought showed a lot of promise and potential. But what I will say is all of that potential, I feel like now hearing Shelter Me, it was kind of all building to this song, because I feel very comfortable in saying that Shelter Me is the best song ever made by Empty, and if the band was going to go out on this note, then they went out on the highest possible note that they could have, because I think Shelter Me, you know, it's the kind of song that, like, maybe doesn't do a lot to deviate from the metalcore formula, but it still is just, like, so magnificent in what it does. And truthfully, maybe it is, like, this added emotional note now that we know that this is the band's final song that makes Shelter Me feel a little bit bigger and feel, like, I guess, more sad in that aspect. But it's nothing to actually be sad about. Like, I feel very celebratory when listening to Shelter Me because, again, I feel in my heart that this band I had watched over the last few years that ultimately made a very huge career and life decision to go their own ways, Shelter Me was the best closing note possible. It really, really was. Number 95 is Hell Bent by Wage War. Stigma was far from being one of my favorite records of the year, and I feel like based off of what I've seen on social media as it relates to like the fan reception of the album and how much of it was retained by people, it seems like most of the audience might not have been like super in alignment with the overall picture of Stigma. But there were a couple of songs on the record that I would say fell into the categories that I always look for in Wage War songs, and Hell Bent very much so like checked off every criteria and box that I would say really speaks to me from Wage War, because truthfully, when I think of my favorite Wage War songs ever made, it's usually nothing on the heavier end of the metalcore spectrum. I'm talking about like The Line, which is off of Pressure, or A Godspeed from Manic. Like, those songs that are, like, a lot more, I guess, radio-friendly, that's truthfully where I see Wage War as operating at their highest level. And Hellbent has a lot of that. Just very catchy all the way through. The breakdown is still rampant enough to, like, bring out the energy from the audience as far as, like, this song being played in a live setting goes. Hellbent, like I said, to me, this is, like, what I look for in Wage War. I know that's not a popular opinion for other listeners out there, but for myself and what I look for in this band, I 100% got that this year through Hellbent. Number 94 is Aromatherapy by Chilio. Oh, So I have talked about Chilio on this show and then also in the social media review posts for quite a decent bit of time now, I believe. And I've always looked at them similarly to what I said earlier about Warning Signs by Internet Friends, where Chilio is not reinventing the pop punk wheel, but they do the genre well enough, and they've always been like right there on the cusp of having something that I would personally label as greatness. And I finally got that this year from them through the song Aromatherapy. And something that I really, really adore about this song is like how upbeat the instrumentation sounds. And then you get to the chorus and it's literally just lines like work sucks, health sucks, everybody sucks, life sucks. Just like the most cynical stuff you can imagine right now layered over this very upbeat and, you know, like super pop punk extravagant sound. And I love it, man. I think Aromatherapy was the exact song that Chilio needed this year to kind of like help propel themselves. And I can't get enough of how weirdly charming I find this song to be. Number 93 is I Always Knew We Were Doomed by Cain Hill. I feel like I kind of said these points when reviewing the album A Piece of Me I Never Let You Find back at the beginning of November, but for somebody like myself who has always really admired Cain Hill's work and have always believed them to be very like adventurous and achieving whatever it is that they challenge themselves to do, I still thought that the core sound of the album, it being as well executed as it was, that was still something that, like, I don't want to say I was surprised by, but I guess just in some regards taken aback by. And I feel like the core of that vision for this album came through the song I Always Knew We Were Doomed, because it is the right balance between this newer, softer side of Cain Hill and then the aggression that people are very used to from them by this point. And I think the star of the song was Elijah, the vocalist, because of how well he's able to transition between both sounds. Like, you know, in one section of the song, he can just be like very soothing and somewhat menacing with his voice, and then later on being menacing, but in a different way through his screams. I thought that I Always Knew We Were Doomed just kind of became like the song for Cain Hill on this record, and ultimately the song for Cain Hill this year. Number 92 is Once I Need by 156 Silence featuring Craig Owens. There was a lot to love this year about the efforts of 156 Silence, and I feel like when you look at the album People Watching, all of those efforts amounted to the most successful year for the band from a creative standpoint, because the album is very like creepy in a lot of what it does. And I look at Once I Need as the song that, when this came out as a single, that was like my real glimpse into just how daunting and brooding the whole album would sound, while still retaining all of the core heavy elements that have really brought together the fans of 156 Silence in kind of like uplifting the band at every turn. And when you add in the voice of Craig Owens, who is the frontman of Chiodos and Destroy Rebuild Until God Shows, it's like a new layer of 156 Silence that it was like so fitting for Craig to be the voice to kind of like help steer that ship in the the closing moments of the song. It was a very good combination that I thought paid off immensely well, because you got what I believe to be the best song ever made by 156 Silence out of this collaboration. Number 91 is Chains the Tower by Fame on Fire featuring Sim. I would hope that throughout the years on this show, I've made it very evident that I am a shooter for the original material by Fame on Fire, because I truthfully think that they get a bad rep for having, you know, gotten initially popular through cover songs like Our Last Night. Fame on Fire have a lot to offer from their original material, and when I look at their record from this year, The Death Card, I see Chains, and I see a song that is able to just really like drive home what it is about this band's original material that I find to be so addictive. Because this song's chorus, I think, is one of the best and the most catchy this year. You add in the voice of Ma from Sim, who are an extraordinarily talented band out of Japan. They had The Rumbling, which is an opening song from Attack on Titan. It's like their biggest song to date. I think you're looking at like hundreds of millions of streams by this point now on Spotify. What I think Ma did really well in collaborating with the voice of Brian on this song comes in like the harmonization that you hear in the second and third chorus. I think in the second verse, Ma like really takes control of the song and he kind of becomes the star of it. And then his scream that leads into the breakdown, so many really cool elements by both Fame on Fire and Ma from Sim that I think really establish Chains as the song from this year that I would turn to like so quickly and tell anybody who is still doubting the original material by Fame on Fire to listen to and understand, or at least try to understand, where it is I am coming from about my praises for Fame on Fire's original material. Number 90 is Awaken by Breaking Benjamin. And I'm going to say this right now, I think a Breaking Benjamin song on a 100 best list in big 2024, in some ways, kind of insane because of how long they've been around and how big of a staple Breaking Benjamin was to somebody like myself in the mid-2000s when consuming AMVs and like video game soundtracks. They were a huge part of that. Just like now, they're a huge part of this list. And what really like struck me as being awe-inspiring by Awaken was simply just how good I found it to be, and how when I hear this song, it sounds like nobody in the band has ever like lost a step in what it is that they're doing. And sure, there may have been recent releases by Breaking Benjamin that I wasn't super high on, but the ability for the band to make a song like Awaken that takes me back to the days of Phobia and We Are Not Alone, that like instantly negates any negative thing I could possibly say about the band in this day and age, because they are still at the top of their game. They can still have that fastball whenever they want to. Just like Breaking Benjamin was able to move me in 2004, they can still do that in 2024. And it's because of a song like Awaken. I think that's fucking sick and, in a lot of ways, beautiful. Number 89 is Keeping Secrets by Fit for a King. Yeah! it's very possible that what I'm about to say, I'm looking at this the wrong way, but one of my concerns right now, understanding the trajectory of Keeping Secrets, is that it might get lost in time, because it was recently confirmed by, I can't remember if it was Ryan or Tuck, but somebody in Fit for King had said that this song will not be on their 2025 album. Technium, which was the other song they released this year, will be, but not Keeping Secrets. So it's like the one outlier when it comes to what the band has been doing as of late. And, you know, like I said, I could be looking at it wrong in terms of believing that the song might get lost in time. And the reason why I hope that's not the case is because of just how incredible I believe Keeping Secrets is, because it's the kind of song where I listen to it and it further emphasizes, to me at least, just how far Ryan has been able to come as a vocalist and just how effortless he is at kind of commanding these melodies with his voice, and just how, like, again, easy it is for me to get lost in his cleans, just as easy as it is to get lost in his screams. It just all in all does, again, an incredible job at showing these differing sides of Fit for a King that I love getting to hear them explore. I love the band when they're heavy. I love the band when they scale that back a bit. And I felt like that entire palette was fulfilled with Keeping Secrets. And I truthfully probably would consider this to be one of the best Fit for a King songs ever made. At the very least, definitely one of my favorites ever by the band. Number 88 is DeLorean by Galleons. Definitely one of the busiest bands of the year, because back in February, Galleons put out the album Violent Delights, and then in the coming months thereafter, they still had two more standalone singles, the first of those being DeLorean. And for as much as I would say I truly do love everything that Galleons did this year, because I believe they're a band that rarely ever misses, there was something about the delivery on DeLorean and kind of how, like, in a way, charming the instrumentation sounded, mixed with the way that Tom kind of, like, elevates his pitch in the chorus. It's a little bit hard to explain, but when you mix these elements together, and they're elements that I think Galleons have always been great at shining through in their music, it kind of just made DeLorean feel like a standout song for Galleons in a year where I think if somebody pointed to a different song and said it that was their standout song, there's not really a way for me to argue against that, because again, Galleons, I don't think they missed whatsoever this year. So many opportunities for them to kind of elevate their status and really feed their fan base. And for somebody like myself who is in their fan base, I was not fed any better by this band this year than off of DeLorean. Number 87 is Earthquake by Letters Sent Home. This was the opening song from Forever Undone, which was the debut album by Letters Sent Home, released back in, I believe it was April of this year, and that was an album that I had a lot of high expectations for, just given how well I thought the singles rollout went. But then, I don't want to say right now that Earthquake, like, stole the show for me in terms of getting through the whole album. But by the time I finished the record, I know for a fact that Earthquake was the song that kind of, like, lingered on my mind and I wanted to immediately go back to and listen, because it sounded kind of vastly different from much of what was on Forever Undone. The song is kind of ominous in how the presentation is and how it's set up. I think as a vocalist, Emily kind of allowed herself to go through a lot of different like motions and ranges with this song, because there's a part of the first verse where she's kind of like just talking into the microphone, not really singing so much, but it's like it adds this element to the song where that like that brooding sense that you can feel behind it, it becomes more personable when you hear this woman just kind of talking and not actually singing. But then it transitions into her singing, and I think throughout Earthquake she has this very angelic tone to her voice that kind of contradicts the creepy nature of the song. It's this package that I think Letters Sent Home threw a lot of ideas into, and all of them ended up sticking. And then there are moments where the song does kind of ramp up its heaviness, and again, it's still so, like, elegant. In this weird way where I'm asking for something creepy to be elegant at the same time, that's kind of the notion that I ended up getting out of Earthquake, and very quickly it became one of the coolest things that I've ever heard out of Letters Sent Home, and overall one of the coolest things that I'm going to take with me after this year. Number 86 is Year of the Vulture by The Wonder Years. This isn't attached to a larger project by The Wonder Years, but rather it was written by the band for a wrestling event this year, NXT Stand and Deliver. The tweet that the band had made and about this song insinuated that it was written about Ilya Dragunov, which is kind of funny to think about for some reason. I don't know why. But something that I think Year of the Vulture did really well was that when I think of The Wonder Years, I'm sure it's the same case for you guys out there who are fans of the band as well. The first thing that comes to my mind is like the melancholy effect that the band usually has. And Year of the Vulture, it doesn't actually have that, I would say. I think this song exists in an atmosphere where it feels kind of combative. The pacing is a lot more frantic than what I feel like we're used to hearing out of The Wonder Years in recent times. And it was a cool outlet for the band to kind of explore a different sound and, you know, be aggressive without being, like, overtly emotional. Like, it's a song that was written for a very specific thing, and The Wonder Years, they didn't, like, you know, kind of phone in anything when it came to that. It still has, like, as much attention to detail as anything else by the band. And for those reasons, I look at Year of the Vulture as being a fun song, and I feel like describing a Wonder Years song as fun, it's kind of oxymoronic in a way, but I think it's the appropriate way to look at Year of the Vulture, at least in my eyes. Number 85 is Over Me by Rain City Drive. I believe that I'm impatient, but I'm really leaving this time. Thought that you'd grow. Over the course of these next 2 weeks, we will talk in great detail and at length about the, in my mind, banner year that Rain City Drive had, and it was a year that they really, really needed. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about the overall effect of Things Are Different Now or Rain City Drive when talking about Over Me. I really just want to focus in on this song right now, because it was one of the singles for the album that just kind of like reinstilled my, I guess like my faith in this project and what it is that they can do almost better than anybody else. And what that specifically is to me is making these very emotional yet like catchy and danceable songs. Like Over Me, at its core, it's kind of like a heartbreaker of a track when you think about the lyricism and you really like zone in on that element. But if you just listen to the music itself, like, brother, like, you're tapping your foot, you're moving your shoulders and your hips around, like, it just has, it has that effect to it, you know? Like, it's so hard for me to listen to a song like Over Me, and again, for as painful as it is lyrically, just not smile in some way at just how infectious the overall groove of Over Me is. And again, I think that is something that Rain City Drive like really, really excelled at this year. And for somebody like myself who, you know, has been a shooter for the band for years now, and I look at To Better Days as being one of the greatest albums of all time, a song like Over Me, it really did a lot for me, and it really, really meant a lot to me. Number 84 is Be Someone by Trash Boat featuring Eric Van Buller from I Prevail. I really think that when Trash Boat dip into a bag that kind of borders their sound being metalcore at times, they operate at a level where it feels like we're watching a band evolve in front of us. And I think if there was a voice that needed to be featured on Be Someone to help emphasize that point and make it stand out even more, then Eric was the perfect voice for it. He comes in on the second verse and takes much of what Toby had already been singing about by that point and makes it sound like even more pissed off and even more aggressive and like all that much more in your face. You know what I mean? I think Eric and Toby just kind of came together on this track and just played off of each other's strengths really, really well, and in turn made Be Someone, in my mind, be one of the biggest strengths on Heaven Can Wait. And it was the absolute right choice to go with this song when announcing the entire album and giving the fan base something to be excited about and have a song like Be Someone that they can take with them. And again, in those like, you know, pissed off moments, have an anthem like this to just kind of be the soundtrack to whatever it is that you're feeling. Number 83 is Dead to All My Friends by Tropic Gold. I love how this song is structured and how it's made to feel like it's distressed the entire way through, because there's no intro to the song. It just goes right into the heavy instrumentation. And then even in the verses, you have like this almost like an industrial effect in some ways that I think adds to what I was mentioning about that distress notion. It feels like it's panicking, like it's running away from something. I think Jacob's voice kind of like stretching out some of the lyrics in the chorus, it adds to that belief in my head that like, if you close your eyes and you imagine like, say like a chase scene in a movie or like something from a horror game, like something that involves a subject running away from something that they don't want to catch them, that's kind of what I get out of Dead to All My Friends and how easy it is to get lost in this song kind of being ominous while still being catchy in so many ways. I think Dead to All My Friends is the song that I've been waiting to hear out of Tropic Gold for a while now, because kind of what I said about earlier, or kind of similarly, I'm stumping over my words now, Similarly to what I said earlier about Chilio and their song Aromatherapy, Chop It Gold is a band who I reviewed stuff from for a while now, and I've always found them to be really solid, but I've always been waiting for like that one song by them that really spoke to me and really struck with what it is that I look for musically in these kinds of acts, and I got all of that with Dead to All My Friends. I think this song was everything I wanted it to be, and then some. Number 82 is The Black by Immanence. Various reasons why I have a lot of love for this song, one of them being that it got me one of my biggest numbers on TikTok. There was a video made where I reviewed the song and it was uploaded to TikTok and it took off, and I got to see there like, okay, wow, like the Immanence fan base, this shit runs deep and they're really, really passionate about this act. And I think that's wonderful to see, because there is every reason to feel that way about Immanence. And I think the title track to The Black is one of those songs that if you listen to it and nothing else by Immanence, you immediately get the understanding and the full scope of what this band is and what they offer, because you listen to like the orchestral arrangements and how heavy the song can get and how like blissfully charming Eddie's voice sounds in those quiet moments, and then how brutal his screams come across later on when the song amplifies its aggressive tone and setting. Again, the title track to The Black is the perfect song to introduce somebody to Immanence, and it was very, very easy and like a no-brainer type situation for me to look at it as being one of the best songs made by the band this year and one of the best songs in general this year. Number 81 is Soft Spine by Spirit Box. Over the past few months, there had been like some cryptic behavior going on within Spirit Box, because you had like the blackouting or like the grayscaling of their album covers one by one on Spotify, and the release of Soft Spine kind of like coinciding with some of this. And then later on, we found out that it's all going to lead up to the album Tsunami Sea. It's coming out in March. I can't remember the exact day off the top of my head, but still, you know, going to be one of the biggest releases of next year, and I would imagine one of the most celebrated, not just by myself, but the entire scene, because that's kind of what happens whenever there is a Spirit Box release. The scene rallies around them, and rightfully so, because they are one of the best bands in the world, and it's so evident when you hear a song like Soft Spine why it is that they have that status. Because they can do pretty much everything well. When they want to be more melodic, they can be. And like here on Soft Spine, when they want to be as heavy and ferocious as any other metalcore band in the world, they can do just that. And Soft Spine channels a lot of what it is about Spirit Box's anger and that aggressive side that people have latched onto. Courtney sounds like a fucking demon at times on this song, and the two specific lines from her that really stand out, and I think not just for myself but for anybody else hearing this song, the first line, "You all deserve each other," and then the breakdown call, "Your God will sort you when you die," and you mix all that in with like, again, how dark and brooding the whole rollout so far for Tsunami Sea has been. Soft Spine just hits in every possible way for an absolutely heavy Spirit Box song, and I think that there are some key moments later on during the breakdown or after the breakdown where it sounds like the guitar is just kind of like all over the place and distorted in some ways. And it reminds me of the kind of sound that Courtney and Mike were able to have when they were in Iris of the Bear once. So it feels like a callback in some ways, while being a celebration of what the future is going to hold for Spirit Box. And it's a future that I'm sure a lot of us cannot wait to watch play out. And a big part of what established that future and that foundation for Spirit Box on Tsunami Sea in 2025 is Soft Spine. And that's it for part one, at least. So these were songs 100 to 81. Come back tomorrow and we'll talk about songs 80 to 61, and then day three, songs 60 to 41, and then so on and so forth, all the way up until we get to the final part on Friday, where I name my favorite song of 2024. If you made it this far into the first part, thank you so much. If you intend to stick around in any capacity through parts 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or any number of them or all of them, whatever the case may be, if you are going to dedicate any of your time and attention to what I'm doing this week, I cannot thank you enough, and I really, really appreciate any and all the support. And, you know, of course, none of this is possible without these 100 songs. So when I'm going through these songs, if there's anything here that you guys maybe haven't heard before, haven't gone back to in a minute, and you feel inclined to do so, please go check out these songs, because there are reasons why I am talking about them this week and why I am choosing to pedestal these 100 songs. All that being said, that's going to be it for this part. And again, come back throughout the rest of the week, and then even come back next week for the records, which we will elaborate on later. Thank you so much for your time today, guys. I really appreciate it. And yeah, look out for the rest of the series this week. Thank you.